Welcome to Sophisticated Property Investing, a podcast brought to you by Ethical Property Partners, the experts in sophisticated property investment.
Welcome to the EPP podcast, where you find out about sophisticated property investing. I am delighted to invite and to welcome onto the podcast today, Gordon Grant, one of our newest members on the partnership. Gordon, welcome, sir.
Great to be here.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming onto the podcast. Not been on before. I think this is your first interview. Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely. First time caller.
Excellent. And whereabouts in the country are you based? Because you sound like you're in Scotland, but I don't think you are.
It's a sad thing. Next year, I'll have spent more of my life south of the border than north, even though I'm still Scottish. I live in Hampshire.
Excellent, excellent. That's quite a long way from the border. And that's not a sad thing, mate, that you're spending more time in England these days. I think that's quite logical. Just kidding. To all of our Scottish listeners, don't start burning effigies of me. Well, welcome, mate. Thank you for coming on board. Let's set the scene. How long ago did you join EPP? When did you start marketing? Just so people know how new you are as a partner.
So I joined in January, and 3 weeks later, I started marketing on about the 8th of February.
Awesome. Now that, ladies and gents, is how you start taking action. Joined in January, 3 weeks later, he had his marketing going out. Now, here's the thing. How long did it take you, Gordon, to get the leaflets printed? Was it leafleting you started with? How long did it take you? In fact, before we like jump into all the detail, let's just talk through the first 3 weeks on the partnership, because this is where people fall down. And if you watch my recent YouTube episode on the two things that newbie investors or successful investors need to do, one of them was taking massive action. And I won't spoil the surprise and tell you what the second one was. But Gordon, you came on board in January. 3 weeks later, your marketing hits people's letterboxes. Talk us through that journey, because I'm guessing there wasn't loads of marketing happening before you joined EPP.
Well, there was zero, because this is a brand new business venture for me. So it was literally a standing start. So I had a conversation with you on induction day for the day. That evening, you said to me, Gordon, I want to see you marketing within 3, maximum 4 weeks. And I thought, right, need to just do it now, otherwise it won't happen. So that evening, I sat down, you gave me some sample marketing content. I tweaked it, sent it through to HQ for them just to kind of say, yeah, that's well done, that's spot on. And the next day I contacted a commercial printer, agreed the quantities and terms and placed the order. So by 12 o'clock the next day, the marketing had been created and was ordered.
No way, 24 hours it took you to basically put your order in for your marketing materials.
Yep.
That is impressive. So printing takes 2 weeks, leaflet company takes a little while, and you've got leaflets hitting people's doors, or doorsteps rather. Talk us through what happened next.
Well, I contacted the leaflet delivery company. They took delivery, then they started sending them out. If I'm honest, I wasn't quite ready for the response to be so immediate. So the leaflets started going out on the Monday, and on the Tuesday, I had 5 phone calls, people phoning from my leaflets.
That's amazing. I love it. I love it when a plan works. And let's backtrack slightly. This isn't random. You weren't just dropping leaflets in your local area in Hampshire. You had systematically looked at different areas of the country. How many different areas of the country had you looked at?
I cast the net wide and far. I then honed it down to probably 5. And then with a conversation with you, we whittled it down to the one. So yeah, probably 5 and then down to 1.
Excellent. So using our goldmine area analysis tool, you worked out the best part of the country to zoom in on, which is in Wales, isn't it? I don't want to go any more specific than that because I don't want 10 competitors to start marketing in your goldmine area. But we're in Wales, aren't we? Is that right?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We are.
So, and that's interesting because I sometimes have people, and we'll digress from your story for a moment, come to me at the start of their EPP journey and say, do you know what, Frank, I'm not willing to travel. I'm only willing to travel half an hour. And I say, yeah, but given the amount of money you've got and given the amount of time you've got and given your level of experience, the strategies that are going to work best for you, yes, you can market on your doorstep, no problem at all. We can do it within 10 minutes. We can do it within a 10-minute walk of your house if you want to, but you're handicapping yourself and it's going to be really hard to get results. Whereas if you do your goldmine area analysis and decide that you're happy to travel 3 hours or 4 hours or even longer, you could actually get double or quadruple or even 10 times the results. Would that not be worth it to you? And some people will still dig their heels in and say, no. Now, I don't want to narrow down where you're investing, Gordon, but just give us an idea of how long it takes you to drive there.
3 hours.
Literally,
I was one of those people. I said to you.
I kind of said it tongue in cheek and I was keeping it anonymous, but I'm glad you fessed up. Yeah. Tell the guys how you felt about a 3 hour one way. So a 6 hour round trip to your goldmine area.
Before our conversation, that was a non-starter. You laughed because when we sat down for the day as a kind of an induction, I had actually produced a map and said, here you go, Frank, this is where I live and I'm willing to travel up to 3 hours in any direction because in my previous job, I had done a lot of traveling and I don't want to do that now. And you laughed and said, okay, now we need to have a conversation because no one's ever done a map this detailed before. Let's have a conversation about potential returns and what you're willing to invest in terms of time. And it wasn't a difficult conversation because it was a no-brainer and you explained it. And I said, okay, I'm not doing this in half measures. So let's do it.
I want to hasten to add, I don't generally laugh at my clients. I think we were laughing together.
I think you found it in funny that somebody had gone to so much detail to choose the exact opposite of what your advice was.
That's so funny. Yeah, I put so much effort into coming to the wrong conclusion.
That's so 100%. Funny. But that was it. You put forward a very good case, and you didn't actually say you have to do this. You said my advice based on my experience is the following, Gordon, and it made perfect sense. So yeah, I was up for that.
And I think that's important. And I think whenever I'm working with my mentors or my coaches, it's the same thing. They don't tell me what to do. They give me the benefit of their experience. My job is, and I say this to everyone that I coach and mentor, my job is to tell you what I think. Your job is to listen and then decide what's right for you. And you're absolutely right. You could have made it work within a half an hour drive of your own home in Hampshire. Absolutely could have done. But you decided that the compromise of driving 3 hours to your goldmine area was worth the expected returns. They're never guaranteed, but the expected returns.
It wasn't much of a compromise because I decided that I wanted to be listening to podcasts and audiobooks and investing in training for myself. So instead of sitting in my study in Hampshire, listening to audiobooks and doing training, I now just do it in the car. So the opportunity cost is actually quite low because all I'm doing is I'm now sitting in a car driving to Wales, getting the same training. So it's not as if I've lost 6 hours out of my day.
Now, you've just said it's not as if I've lost 6 hours out of my day. And I'm sure some of the listeners are thinking, does he go there every day? How often do you go to your goldmine area, mate?
Well, at the moment, I'm going there once a fortnight. That is based on demand, but I'm going there once a fortnight.
Excellent. And that is what I say most people will need to do in the growth phase of their business or using four phases model, the EPP four phases model in the startup and build up phase, in the starting and building phase of your business. You're going to need to go there either once a week or for a day or two, a fortnight is what I recommend. Twice a month, three times a month, something like that. Brilliant. So you got 5 phone calls the day after you dropped the leaflets, which is unbelievable. So you basically did a day's work and got your leaflets ready. You then had to wait for 2 weeks whilst the leaflets were printed and the leaflet company picked them up, etc. Then you delivered them. So this is day 2 of work. And on day 3, you have 5 vendors call you. That is like the fastest start ever, I think. What did you do next? Because this is, bearing in mind, you've never actually spoken to a vendor in your life. So tell me what happened.
Panicked a little bit.
I bet you did.
I'm not ready for this. I tell you, the first person I phoned, I phoned him and said, Frank, this isn't funny, to take advantage of me. But I didn't, thankfully. And it was a genuine person who was genuinely interested to me.
Why did you think it was a joke? Why did you think it was me? I'm not that good an actor. Why did you think it was me? I can speak Welsh, but I haven't got a Welsh accent.
At this point, I hadn't spoken to the person, but I kind of thought, is this a setup? Is this something Frank does to make me think that his system works? And it wasn't. Obviously, it wasn't. It was genuinely five people phoned up and genuinely wanted to have a proper conversation about their properties. But it just seemed, I mean, I'll say it seemed too good to be true. I mean, it seemed almost like this can't possibly be happening. But it was, and they were great conversations.
So you thought I'd got five of my mates to phone you just to hoodwink you into thinking that EPP was a system that worked. Yeah, I can see that's got longevity, that business model of mine. Cool. So you spoke to the five people. You were nervous beforehand. How did the five calls go? Because I'll be honest with you, on day three of doing work, I don't think anyone's ever had three phone calls. Now, people have done more deals in the first. So we're in middle of November when we're recording this. And you started in January. So was it end of January? Do you remember?
It was about the 19th or something. So let's say the middle of January. So yeah, so we're about 10 months.
10 months. So in 10 months, how many deals have you done so far?
I have done three deals and completed on two of them already.
Brilliant. So you've signed up three, completed on two, and got one going through. So I'll be honest, that's not, you know, setting the world alight. It's a solid start for sure. And so people have done a lot more deals than that. I would have thought the record would be something like nine deals in 10 months, first 10 months. However, the first 3 days, you've certainly set the record, I reckon. So you had a conversation with some of them. Talk me through the worst one. Talk me through the best one. How did they go as a whole? Did you phone them all back on day three?
I phoned them all back bang on time. I should say, this isn't my full-time job. So I have another business, and this is something that I'm building. So I'm not dedicating full-time or even near full-time to this, to my property business yet. So when you bear that in mind, I'm not even putting in probably as much effort as some other people. It sounds like I'm now trying to be defensive. That's not intentional. But the first phone call I had was, because I'm quite confident with chatting to people on the phone, and I chatted to the guy and he agreed to me coming and seeing him, driving to see him. Literally the first person said, yeah, let's do it.
Your first ever telephone fax. So hang on a second. How many leaflets got delivered on the first Monday?
I was delivering 5,000 a week over 6 or 7 days a week, depending. So I guess just under 1,000 maybe.
Okay, so let's call it 1,000 for simplicity. You delivered 1,000 leaflets and got five phone calls. That is like off the scale, like as a return. And then the first TFF call that you've ever made, and the first few are normally painful. You know, we ask partners to record them and then we give them a blow-by-blow critique of those. Not only have you like had five, but the first one you do that you think's a joke, that it's me or one of my mates, you offer... Well, what was the value and what was the offer?
The value on that was about 100, and the offer was about 74, I think.
Okay, so just under 25%, cool, or around 25% below market value. And the guy said what?
Well, I visited the guy, had a great conversation with him. That didn't go ahead, so that didn't go through to a deal, but it gave me a great experience. So it was great to do it, didn't go through, but yeah, it was really good to do and to just have an experience of speaking to a person and just cutting my teeth, basically. It was good.
And it's positive. It in the early days, I think this is one of the successes of EPP, actually, is not everyone gets that positive start. Some people will do 10 calls, 20 calls, 30 calls without getting a yes. But what EPP does is it gives you that confidence. Well, other people are making these calls. We do lunchtime sessions where you can sit in and listen to people making live calls when we're all together on our monthly training days. And it just gives you that reassurance and that confidence that this system works. So you got that straight away off your first TFF. So you went out and saw him. Now, I am interested in this, Gordon, and I don't know the backstory. Why did the guy say yes on the phone and then no when you got out to him? What changed, or what did you discover? Why did that not turn into a deal? I'll be honest with you, I thought you'd signed your first ever TFF. So I must have misremembered that. So tell me what changed. And I was about to say what went wrong, but actually nothing's gone wrong. It's part of the system, isn't it? It's a
absolutely.
It's a conversion rate, and he's one of the help visits that didn't become a sign up. So what happened
on the actual phone call? Initial phone call, he overestimated the condition of the property, and then when I went to actually visit it, there was there was more work required than he kind of agreed with me. But then, I think if I'm honest, it wasn't him. It was more to do with me. I think I hadn't learned enough. Were I to be in that situation again now, I would like to think I would have been able to help him better and to secure a deal with him. I think it was more down to me just being a bit too green behind the gills.
Not to put you on the spot, but I will. Did you take a mentor with you?
I did.
So was it that you'd not set the help visit up correctly on the TFF? Or was it that you didn't follow up after you'd been with the mentor? What would you do differently now that you didn't do? Well done, by the way, taking a mentor, because I've had that numerous times where people have got off to a flying start and then they fall over in the help visit because they haven't taken a mentor with them. So well done for doing that.
I would have asked a few better questions on the telephone fact find call. So this was actually a probate property, and on the call he said that it was his decision he was the final decision. But then when I actually went and saw him, he said, "Oh, by the way, my sister also needs to just agree to any deal that's done." And he then started to kind of backtrack a little bit on things. So I think the learning for me would be just to have a slightly more, explore a bit more on the phone call about the absolute situation and things. So yeah, I don't mark it down as a failure. I mark it down as a, oh my goodness, that was a quick learning and I took lots of learning from it.
Here's the thing. You'd made 5 calls. One said yes. Did the other 4 say no? Did you go out and see them or were they no's?
They were no's, yes. So yes, I had one help visit signed, agreed on after the first day of phone calls, yes. So one yes and 4 no's.
So one yes on TFF, telephone fact find, 4 no's, which, yep, by the way, is a remarkable conversion rate. That's brilliant. And then you've gone out to the help visit and it's not converted to a sign up. I agree 100% with you. None of that's negative. Getting to the no's is part of the process. Disqualifying people. You know what I mean? I can't remember what the word is. The opposite of qualifying people. So yes. I think it's disqualifying people.
Disqualifying.
Yeah. Thank you, Gordon. Yeah. I was going to make a joke about a Scotsman teaching me to speak English then, but I'm sure that would be non-PC. Oh dear. I've just made it. So the disqualification process is integral to it. You don't want to go out and see 5 people when 4 are definite no's already. And we expect for a proportion of people that we go out to see not to actually go ahead and sign up. So that was really, I think that's a really positive start. And it sounds like it was for you, because the main thing there is you're no longer scared. You're no longer worried about the no. You're no one longer worried about leaflets working and the rest of it. So how did you feel at the end of that first week?
A mixture of emotions. Somewhat astonished. That week actually continued, and I don't remember the full details, but I was at least having 3 phone calls every day for the next few days as well, the next 4 days. So yeah, so I must have done like 17 calls or something in that first week. So by the end of it, I felt fairly confident that I at least understood the process of the phone call. There's still lots of learning and finessing to happen, but I thought, okay, I'm starting to feel more comfortable. The scariness of it had gone because it was no longer something I'd never experienced before. I now knew what to expect to a certain extent. So I was slightly astonished at the responses. I was delighted at the responses I was getting. And as you said, based upon the return on time that I had spent, I was saying, wow, this is quite something.
And you mentioned you were doing this part-time. How many hours a week were you putting into your property business at this stage? And how many hours a week were you putting into your primary occupation?
At this stage, it was probably about 15 hours a week. Because that there's about 15 hours a week probably for the property business.
Yeah.
And then the remainder of the time was with the other two businesses. So yeah.
So you've got 2 businesses that you focus on that bring in, you know, pay the bills. And then you've got your property business on top. How many hours a week? And the reason I ask all these probing questions is I know that our listeners like to understand how people have done this. And so how many hours a week do you work combined in those other two businesses?
I'm probably spending about 10 to 15 hours a week at the moment on the property. And then I guess I've got 3.5 to 4 days on the other two businesses a week. So I'm working just slightly over a 40-hour week probably in total at the moment across the three businesses. And that's a trade-off that I'm willing to do because the other two businesses are in a kind of a startup embryonic phase as well. So it's an early kind of, that's not the norm. That won't be the norm going forward.
I just think it's useful, Gordon, to really draw a picture of how you've structured your property business, because having two other startup businesses, so basically having three startup businesses at once, is no mean feat. That's tough going. Investing 15 hours a week into your brand new property business. Had you ever invested before?
This is interesting because you actually, when we were chatting before I actually became a partner, I said I had no property experience, and you said, okay, do you own a house? And I said, well, yeah, I own a house and I have a buy to let and I've had one for 15 years. And you said, so what makes you think you've no property experience? I said, well, but I don't really think of myself. And it's all mindset. I hadn't thought of myself as having any property experience. I just had a flat in London when I lived there. I then got married and we moved out to Hampshire and we kept the flat in London. And you said, well, you've had, what, 170 odd rental months? I said, yeah. We said, well, you've got experience because you've been taking rent and you've been dealing with maintenance and dealing with tenants and reference checks and stuff. So I had more experience than I gave myself credit for. So yeah, but not much. I mean, I wouldn't say I was approaching EPP as a brand new newbie with no experience. That was my kind of approach.
Yeah, so it's not like you were relying on bucket loads of experience in the background. Don't tell me I laughed at you again when you said you had no experience, Gordon. You're gonna paint this picture of me just like mocking all my clients. Cool. So we got going, you got rocking and rolling, you had 17 calls in your first week, which is amazing. You got a few of them critiqued by HQ. You had your first help visit booked and either conducted or ready to rock and roll at the following week. Let's fast forward to today, and we'll jump back in a bit in terms of the chronology. You said you've completed on two deals and you've got one going through. Will you share the numbers with us, mate, so we can just get a snapshot of 10 months in, 15 hours a week. What have you achieved in terms of positive cash flow per month, cash in bank, equity controlled? Talk me through the three deals, mate.
Okay. So the first deal that I did, the market value was £107,000 and the purchase price was £74,000.
And what's that as a BMV?
That is that about 70%?
Do you want me to work it out for you? you keep talking and I'll work it out, don't worry.
So and that's now tenanted and is giving a positive cash flow of £143 per calendar month.
So that's 71%, so that's 29% BMV. I've just worked that out. And what was the positive cash flow? I missed that.
£143 per month.
Per calendar month. Brilliant. Now, at 107, once you've refinanced that, you've got no money left in that, which is an infinite return of £1,600 a year. That's deal one. Brilliant. Yep. And you've kept that. So not only have you got that cash flow, you've also got 107 minus 74. So you've got £33,000 in equity. My portfolio across the Midlands has seen about an 8% rise since January this year. Okay. What has your portfolio or these three that you've bought, what kind of, in the area of Wales that you're in, what kind of capital growth have you seen? Because I've heard some parts of Wales like Pembrokeshire, etc., have gone through the roof. So what's your area seen?
Well, you've now exposed me here, Frank, because I haven't actually checked that.
Oh, no worries. That's fine. I tell you what, it's a fun exercise to do, mate. We don't invest for capital growth, but over the long term and medium term, we expect some capital growth. We don't rely on it. My advice is not to refinance and take your cash back out, but think of those three properties and think of, let's keep the maths easy and say that you've got a 10% rise, right? I'm not saying you have had, but you could well have had. What most people say is they go, well, £33,000. Oh, that's nice. I've got 3,300 extra. So actually now I've got 36 and a bit grand. Can you tell me why that is wrong Gordon, and why it is so much better than that?
Oh, you put me the spot here, Frank.
Mate, I love doing that. I'm your mentor. My job's to help you grow. It's just me and you. No one else is listening. Don't worry.
Nobody in the world's listening to this. So if we've got a 33 grand equity and then we've got a 10% increase, I can't think, Frank. Oh, man, here we go. This is the guy in his first year.
The listeners, mate, are shouting at their podcast. They're going, it's this.
Can't think.
What's the 10% increase of? What goes up by 10%?
The total value of the property.
Exactly.
Not just my equity.
Exactly. So you've got 33 grand equity, but the property was worth 107 grand.
Yeah.
So it's a 10% rise in property prices means that your property is not now worth 107. It's worth 10,700 more. And so now it's worth 112,400, which means that 10,700 is added to your 33K. Which means that you've now got 43,700 quid. You've seen a 33% increase on your net worth in that deal in just a 10-month period if it's gone up by 10%. Now, we're not expecting that next year and the year after, et cetera. You can't go, oh, it's going to have doubled in the next 3 years. It could do, but it's just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal, given that you've got no money left in the deal. And if you were crazy aggressive, or if you had a business plan that supported this, you could of course refinance, because if the deal's worth now 112, no, I've got that wrong. It's not 112,400, sorry. 107 plus 10.
It's 100, almost 118.
It is 118,400, isn't it? Yeah. So forgive me. But now at 118,400, let's just do that calculation. 118,400 times 0.75, we've got 88,800, and you only paid 74 for it. So now you've got £14,000 cash back. Now, you wouldn't have £14,000 cash back on refinance because you've got purchase costs, stamp duty, legals, etc. But you probably would have some money in your pocket after that refinance. So you've bought a property, it's paid you to buy it, although there might be a slight delay whilst you refinance, etc. And you've got 1,600 quid a year coming out of it. So I love it. So that's your first property. What about your next one?
And that's just the cash benefit, the financial benefit. There's then all the learning that comes out of that, that then gets carried forward to the next, building up this bank of knowledge and experience, which then, so that's also got not a cash value, but has a value as well. So the next deal, market value 72, purchase price 40.
Wow. It's been a long, long time since I bought a property for 40K. That's the difference between Wales and the Midlands, where I generally invest. So what percentage is that? 40K divided 55? By 72 is, it is a 55. 55? So that means that you're buying that at a 45% BMV. Wow. Yeah. That's impressive. But you need a bigger BMV when they're that cheap, because otherwise your purchase costs and stamp duty, etc., are too low. Although you wouldn't buy it at 40, you'd buy it at 39,999 and pay no stamp duty on it. So you'd save yourself your 3% there, which is nice. And the difference there is a 32K equity. So how does that perform for you?
So that's just actually completed. So I'm just doing a bit of refurb on that. If that goes to rental, then that will give a net of 229 per month, net positive cash flow.
I like that, per calendar month, 229. 229 times 12, 2,000. Was that your dog?
Sorry.
Sorry. 2,748. It made me jump. He was really close.
She was impressed with the deal.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, woof. 2,700. Love it. You mentioned doing a refurb. So obviously that refurb comes out of your equity and is added to the purchase price. So how much are you spending on it?
The refurb on that is potentially up to 14,000.
Oh, quite a lot. Okay, so 14,000. Yeah. So now it's going to owe you 54K. Let's just work that out. 54K divided by your 72 val is 75% exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, which is what you've aimed for, because you want to get all your money out on refinance. Makes complete sense. So third deal, So those two have completed, is that right?
Yeah.
And this one is just going through. What stage are you at? Have you?
The conveyancing is virtually completed. We've done all the searches. We have done all the queries and responses. We're just tying up one or two last parts with the legals. And the values on this are going to be market value, 180,000.
180k. Yeah. Have you had a Rooks fell on that yet?
It's all done. Yep. The Rooks is all done.
So that's come back at 180, has it?
Yep.
And this is the thing, guys. We get Rooks vals on all of these. So the first one at 107, the second one at 72. These are all substantiated by Rooks vals. It's not Gordon sticking his finger in the air going, I think it's worth this. Yeah. A bit like they do on Homes Under the Hammer, you know. Oh, I think I just made an imaginary £15,000. That always makes me laugh. Right. So 180k val. And what did you pay for it?
Purchase price, 135k.
So the difference there is 45k, which is
75% on the nose.
Exactly, 75%. Brilliant. What did you do with it?
This one is still going through. The refurb is going to be just under 5,000.
Yeah.
And it will be kept.
So you've consciously left a bit more money in this, have you? Because obviously that won't be no money down, but it's a nice value property to counteract. It seems you're in a low value area, so you're picking up nice cheap ones. And I tell you what, the span of values is unbelievable. From 72 to 107 to 180, you're getting a really balanced portfolio there. Just out of interest, how far from these three properties, how far are they from each other?
It's half a mile between 107 and 180.
Wow.
And it's probably about 10 miles from them to the 72.
Okay, interesting. You're going to get a really balanced portfolio, which, as you know, is important. Talk about the four phases of your business. It's going to help you to balance your portfolio and protect against it. Excellent. So what's that bringing in a month, positive cash flow?
Positive cash flow is going to be 388 per month.
Oh, nice. I like that. Per calendar month, which is... Now, when we talk about positive cash flow, guys, we factor in everything. We factor in the mortgage, we factor in insurance, we factor in letting agent fees, etc. So this is...
Actually, sorry, 288 a month.
Seemed high. That's all right.
288 a month.
288 times 12. I was going to say, my next question was going to be, what monetization strategy? That's too high for a single AST. So... let me just double check my maths here. Yes, I've got 3, 4, 5, 6 a year.
Yep.
So you've added to your passive income per month, you've added 3, 4, 5, 6 plus we've got 2, 7, 4, 8 on the second one. Plus we've got, I did approximate that one, 1600. It was there or thereabouts.
You've 17, added 16, yeah.
7,804, nearly 8 grand a year. Which is amazing. Yep. And when you look at your other businesses, and I'm not, you know, it's not a competition, but when you look at your other businesses, and it doesn't matter what business you look at, and I present on this topic actually at the British Franchise Exhibition, franchise exhibitions around the country, I often do a presentation on what should a franchise do for you. And one of my arguments is when you work hard in your franchise business, you expect it to pay you money. Well, there you go, 7,800 quid a month, plus you've got 33 grand equity in the first one, you've got 32 grand equity in the second one, and then you've got 45 grand equity in the third one. So that's a combined total, I'm approximating this, of about 100 grand, just over.
If I could just apply some Scottish maths, that's an annual figure, not a monthly figure. That's 7,000 odd.
Yeah, sorry, did I say that a month? Yeah, some Scottish maths. Oh my goodness, I've really opened a hornet's nest here, haven't I? I'm going to have hate mail from Scotland, mate. Yeah. So we've got 100 grand equity. You can't take it to the bank, but it's there. It goes on the bottom line. It's on your balance sheet. It's your net worth that's gone up by 100 grand. But not only that, you've got £7,800 per year passive income. Now, what I love about property is you can stop working tomorrow and that 7,800 continues to roll in. Yes, you've got to manage your letting agents 1 hour a month or whatever, but that passive income is there. And of course it will grow over time because inflation's kicking in now, rents are going to go up, your equity will grow over time as well. And so the presentation that I give at the BFA franchise exhibitions at the NEC and Olympia and stuff, is exactly that, that you should invest in a business or an asset class that will give you a return forever. Because what most franchises do is they give you a great return whilst you work in them, but when you come to the end of your franchise term, you give back the keys. It doesn't matter if it's a restaurant, doesn't matter if it's a car valeting business, it doesn't matter if it's a dessert shop, you give back the keys and you lose your revenue stream from it. You might sell the business for a bit of a profit over what you paid for it. You might have earned great cash during the interim, but you hand over the keys and your cash flow stops. And the brilliant thing about property is it continues. So in 10 months, you've done 100 grand equity and you've built yourself a passive income of £7,804 a year. I love it, mate. I absolutely love it. So I always do this, Gordon. I've got a bit of background noise there, mate. It sounds like an aircraft taking off. What was that in the background?
I think that was possibly a tumble dryer.
So okay, cool. No, it's fine. We'll leave it in. It adds realism. It adds grit to the podcast, mate. I like it. So we've had the dog barking. We've got the tumble dryer going. You just need to bring in a couple of kids to like scream and shout a bit, mate. It'll be fine. So my question to you is this. Before you started, take yourself back to the 18th of January, right? Before you started with your EPP journey. How did you feel about BMV purchasing, 25% discounts, what position the vendors might be in, how you might feel buying at 25% below, or in the case of your second one, was it your second one or your first one that was at 45% below market value, although there's a bit of a refurb, but buying a house 45% below what it's worth. What were your preconceptions and how did those marry up with the reality compared to how you feel now?
So preconceptions would be, I don't believe that's possible. And if it is possible, I can't do it. I wouldn't be able to do it.
There's some positive self-talk for you. Do you tell yourself that every morning in the mirror?
Absolutely, I can't do that. No, but that sometimes you look at something and you think that's too good to be true. I'm not sure if it's even possible. And if it is, it's going to require some really sophisticated, clever, self-taught, some better than me. I couldn't do that. That's not something I could achieve. We would have been the position that I was in prior to signing up.
Yeah. Bearing in mind that this was middle of COVID, right? This is lockdown. We still in lockdown, or did we just come out of lockdown at that point?
We just come back in.
Just gone back into lockdown. So
yeah, schools had just gone back into lockdown in the middle of January.
And when did we come back out of lockdown?
Was it me?
So you've done 10 months, but four of those have been during lockdown, which is when people were saying, yep, you can't buy houses, you can't sell houses. Property market's like not functioning. Oh, it's hilarious, isn't it? Vendors won't let you into your house. I remember seeing some of the stuff on Facebook and I was like, wow, that's hilarious. So I've talked on this podcast previously about, you know, councillors getting in touch with us, telling us we were breaking the law. We even had police officers telling our leaflet delivery guys that they weren't allowed to deliver leaflets. And in the end, we took screenshots of the legislation for them to show anyone that stopped them that actually it was allowed. It's quite humorous when it's changing so quickly that the people enforcing the law don't know the law, but all good. So that was your belief. That was your identity. That was your attitude prior to the 19th of January. How do you feel about it now, 10 months on?
Oh, it's well within my gift now. In fact, it's more than within my gift. I can do this and I can do this well. It's such a turnaround. It's almost, yes, I can hardly believe. Looking back to the beginning of the year, what I thought I could do, and now not what I think I can do, what I have done and am doing. Yeah, it's a vast difference.
Excellent. I couldn't agree more, mate. And what I will say about you, Gordon, is you've embraced the system. You've set yourself goals. You've taken on board the EPP blueprint. You've followed it. And lo and behold, surprise, surprise, you've got the results, mate. Cool. First 10 months, 3 deals, 100 grand under your belt in terms of equity, great cash flow each month, building month on month. Just give us a quick snapshot into your goals at the end of your franchise in 4 years and 2 months time. What portfolio will you have? What cash flow? What equity?
So the big fat hairy goal is to have at least 25 properties actively in the portfolio.
Yeah.
And to have done more deals than that, but those to be retained for me. In terms of the capital, I haven't necessarily articulated that. But 25 is the number that I've got in my mind. I'm looking for them to be a range of properties in my area, but a range of types of properties. Prior to joining EPP, had I done property, I would have probably gone for the exact same type of thing, probably with the exact same lender at the exact same rate. And one of the things that you've kind of taught is to diversify and make sure, de-risk that and make it a solid foundation. So those 25 will be spread across different types of properties and things.
Excellent, excellent. Can I ask a personal question, Gordon?
Sure.
How much cash did you have in the bank when you started on the 19th of January?
30,000.
What was your net worth at that point?
Oh, I would have that written down somewhere.
Just roughly.
So if I remind myself, net worth is taking the values of properties and assets and stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, so all of your assets added up, including cash in bank, including property values, etc., cars, and then you take away all your liabilities. So if you've got a 100 grand house and you've got a 70 grand mortgage, your net worth is 30K, for example.
So I think that it would have been about 400.
So you've added 25% to your net worth in 10 months. And how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
That's a harder question. I've got to think. 47.
You know, I might have said this before on the podcast. I've had it before where the bank have said to me, Mr. Flegg, how old will you be on your next birthday? And I've gone, 1982. That makes me, and they've actually said, can we speak to the real Mr. Flegg, please? That was really me. I just don't know how old I am. So you're 47 years old, right? And I'm not going to put too fine a point on this, but this is so important. You've taken 47 years to accumulate 400 grand's worth of net worth, right?
Yeah.
And in 10 months, you've added 100 grand to that. That is unbelievable. And so for that reason, I'm going to suggest, and I know you've very graciously agreed to come onto the podcast, I want to give you some value back. Your goals are too low, mate. And I know you're at the retreat and you spent 3 days at the Belfry with us last month, but those goals need to be, well, my suggestion is if you are planning to continue to invest 15 hours a week, you need to raise those goals because you will smash them otherwise, or you'll slow down. And let me explain why. You've done 3 deals in 10 months. You're probably statistically, and this is based on your results, going to do another deal in the next 2 months. So you're probably going to do about 4 deals in your first 12 months. There is no way in the last 12 months of your 5 years, you're still going to do 5 deals. If you do 3 or 4 in your first 12 months, you can expect to do 5 or 6 in your second 12 months. You can expect to do maybe 7 or 8. You'll be doing 10 a year in your fifth year. And if you add all those up, let's just do that quickly in our head, 4 in your first year, 6 in your second year. And then we've got, let's just say 8, and then let's say 10 and 10. We're at 14 there, 18. We're at 38. Properties, mate, and your goal of 25, and that's being really conservative, is blown out of the water. So I would encourage you to reassess those goals, but let's keep it at 25 for now. I just want to share these goals for you. I've worked out some numbers while you were rattling on in your Scottish accent. So if you only do 25 properties, and I appreciate you're going to flip some, and I have taken that into account, 25 properties at an average of £25,000 equity in each one, which is roughly what you've got, 25 grand in each of these. That is an increase in your net worth of 625K. You got £1 million net worth from a 400 grand net worth over just a 4-5 year period. That's amazing, you know, to double it. It's taken you 47 years to get to this point, and in the next 5 years, you add more than the same again. That's brilliant. Secondly, your cash flow. So based on those three that you've already done, that's £7,800 per annum passive income.
Yep.
That works out as £2,600 a property. Let's just keep that as an average. 25 of those is bringing you in £65,000 a year in passive income from just 5 years worth of work. It's unbelievable, Gordon. And the thing is, you're already on track to it because the first 10 months are the hardest 10 months. Imagine how much better you are now in terms of ability to speak to vendors on the phone, confidence, problem-solving ability when sat in front of vendors, and of course, working with solicitors and getting deals through as well. I'm excited for you, Gordon. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah, far more excited than I... If you'd said to me on the 19th of January, you're going to be excited by the end of this year, I wouldn't expect to have been this excited and positive about the future.
Yeah, but to be fair, mate, you thought I was the one phoning from the leaflet, so you couldn't have been much more cynical and sceptical, really, could you? But
hey. There you go, a tough audience, and you've still managed. So well done.
Gordon, I am delighted for you, mate. I'm so excited about the journey you've had and the success that you have ahead of yourself. My final question for you before we wrap up is, before you came on board on the 19th, and we know our stats, I know how many people inquire about EPP compared to how many actually take the leap of faith and come on board. And it is a leap of faith because you have to part with some money, you have to commit to, you know, working with us on an ongoing basis as in the partnership. What would you say to someone who's listening to this right now, has got one buy-to-let, three buy-to-lets, however, you know, inexperienced they are, that is considering taking their property investing to the next level? What would your advice to them be?
To have a chat with you, to be honest, to just make the next step. One thing I've learned is you don't need to plan 10 steps, 20 steps ahead. You just need to think, what's the next one or two steps you need to do? And if you're at that stage, the next step is to reach out and have a conversation, because a conversation is no obligation. And I would say, and I have said to a number of friends, you should be considering this because, and I say this,
I'm going to be loaded in 5 years' time, and you're not going to be able to afford to come on holiday with me, yeah.
But as well as that,
I'm going to get fed up with you coming on my yacht all the time. So
get your own yacht, yeah.
So, my Ferrari's only going to have two seats.
So, but I would say to them. And again, I hear the self-talk. If I can do it, then you can do it as well. So yeah, I would say to them, have a conversation, because a conversation is no risk and no obligation.
And guys, if you're sat there right now thinking, okay, I'll have that conversation with EPP, the way to get in touch is to drop us an email, support@ethicalpropertypartners.com. That will come straight into the HQ office. One of the guys just outlined, you know, I've listened to Gordon Grant. He's told me to get in touch. This is me getting in touch. I want to emulate his results. I want to grab myself a goldmine area before they're all gone. I want to take my property investing to the next level. You don't have to say all those things. Any of those would be fine. And one of the guys will give you a shout and talk you through next steps. Mr. Grant, you are a legend. You've smashed this year despite all of your handicaps, you know, and an accent that, you know, disadvantages you from day one. Investing in a foreign country, not even your home country, not in the country you spent most of your life in, but in a foreign country. And I say that as having spent 17 odd years in Wales as myself. And you've blown it out of the water, mate. And it's not by chance. It's not because you've got this massive skill set that you could rely on. It's not because you've got years and years of experience in property. It is because you have applied yourself, because you've taken that leap of investing in yourself. I remember seeing you at the retreat last month and you were like, Frank, I've come to learn about property. We haven't talked about property in 3 days, but you've still thrown yourself in. You were getting into ice baths, literally throwing yourself into ice baths, because Frank said that the Wim Hof method would help with your mental ability to invest in property. Mate, you deserve every ounce of the success that you have had. And you deserve every ounce of the success that you're going to have over the next few years. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. And best of luck, mate. I cannot wait to walk beside you for the next 4 years.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers, Gordon. Take care.
Sophisticated Property Investing, a podcast brought to you by Ethical Property Partners, the experts in sophisticated property investment.